see Twitter.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Already in Nashville, I was able to catch up with one of the busy members of the Tennessee General Assembly. And I'm happy to have Senator, I'm so used to saying Representative.
I thank God every morning for that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, okay.
Senator, thank God for the favor.
Senator,
Lady, the people of District 19.
Senator Lady Gilmore, okay? Not to be confused, just Senator Lady. And those things go together.
Thank you. It's an honor always to be here with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you.
And never too busy to stop and come and
Amen.
Chat with you.
Thank you.
This is important stuff
well,
to get out of information.
It is, and I have concerns about some issues, and, you know, I've been trying to get, you know, people like you and Congressman Cooper, and he's been so busy in swamp water out there. He's not, you know, I can't get my updates from him like I used to. When Barack Obama was president, I could get regular updates because he could at least exhale.
Yes.
He can't exhale at all now.
That's these are different times.
Oh, yes, they are. And I did read somewhere, I think it was in today, maybe possibly today's news about an election that took place in Clarksville or somewhere where the Democrat lost and the Republican representative won, and that the count is it 28-5?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. I just know that the Republican did win. I heard that he was going to be sworn in maybe tomorrow.
If there's only five Democratic senators, yeah, that's tough.
We called ourselves the Fighting Five.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have to be everywhere we have to be, and we have to be on our game.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, being so that's the case, you all must have to wear breastplates every day to protect yourself from, because there's some stuff coming fast and furious out of that Capitol.
It is, and you know, I want to be honest. I think that there are some good people on both sides of the aisle, and there's absolutely nothing that the five mm-hmm. of us can do by ourselves
right.
in our caucus.
Exactly.
So I want to get that out there. And we have passed some good legislation, and we didn't do it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We did it with the help of our colleagues across the aisle. But there are some bills down there that I'm very, very concerned
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
that I think it's going to have a negative impact on people of color and on working class people.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the bills that I'm very concerned about, one is this voter protection bill. Senator Jackson is the sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's Senate Bill 971.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like your listening audience to send emails and to make phone calls tonight
mm-hmm.
because it's being rolled until tomorrow morning. It's going to be on the Senate floor at 8:30 a.m. And there are many components, but the basic premise is there was an organization that turned in thousands of voter registrations in Memphis in Shelby County last year at the last minute, and they had a lot of errors in them.
Mm.
And so rather than giving them an opportunity to correct it, this legislation is coming forth, and it says that if organizations pay people to do voter registrations, and if there are errors in them, they're deficient. It could be your name is left off or your address is left off or it could be something minor. Then it could be a fine up to a misdemeanor, which carries a fine up to 1 year and $10,000 fine.
Mm.
So I've been and it requires training and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We do need training.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. And so I've been trying to talk to the sponsor and ask, could we just take the fine part out and could we take the criminality part out of it? I don't know if you're aware of it. Sharon Kay. Well, I know you know that we got issues in Tennessee with voting.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're aware that we used to be number 27th in the country.
For not voting?
No, in terms of voter participation.
Oh, really?
And then we passed that voter ID bill. You remember that, very restrictive?
Yes, I do remember.
And now we've plummeted to the bottom of the pile. We're like number 50th in the country. So we should be trying to think of doing everything that we can to promote voting and encouraging people to vote, rather than, I think that this legislation is just going to really frighten people.
It is.
And that we're going to see a smaller number of people doing voter registrations. It's hard to get the message out in the community that this is only going to be for people who pay folks to do voter registration. And actually, you know, it's hard work. I see nothing wrong with it at all of paying people to do voter registrations. They're not cheating or anything.
Right. How does this mean fewer organizations will be able to participate if this passes in the process to collect the balance?
I suspect that it probably will be less organizations will be doing it and less people will be conducting voter registrations, because to think that you may end up with a $10,000 fine. I mean, even if it was a $1,000 fine, we could probably put our pennies together and do that. But when you're talking about a $10,000 fine, that's pretty significant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or even going to jail for a year.
Right.
That's pretty big.
So the cap is still at 100. So if you get 99.
Yeah.
So the new goal is 99 per person or 99 per...
It's per organization or per person, yeah, if you were... if you were paying someone.
That is so crazy.
So we're going to keep working right up until the end. Again, it's coming up in the Senate tomorrow at 8:30. And so please, throughout the day, if you're still on the air, encourage your listener audience, do not delay, but to phone Cox and Cox.
And is he modeling this after another state, or did he just think of this on his own, or is this a party issue, or what is it?
It originated in the Secretary of State's office. That's where it's coming from. But Texas has a similar law, and they've had it on the books, and it's showing that it really has hurt people of color. And so we just, again, Tennessee.
Oh, he's from Jackson.
He's from Jackson, too.
It's his district office.
His name is Ed Jackson, and he's from Jackson, Tennessee.
It says District 27. And he goes to the Church of Christ. He went to Lambert University, Memphis State.
So he's from West Tennessee.
His district office is at 25 Windhurst Street in Jackson, 38305.
Well, we just need to call his Nashville office, though.
Okay, Nashville.
615-741-1810. Okay.
615-741-1810.
Yes. And he is... And it's Senate Bill 971.
971. Okay.
Refer to Senate Bill 971.
Yeah. All right. And this can be just a quick call?
Yes, just a quick call, and just say that I'm opposed to this legislation and give one or two reasons why. And we know that it's just going to have a negative effect and scare people off, and that they're not going to conduct as many voter registrations as we have in the past. You know, sororities, fraternities, civic organizations, all these different organizations conduct voter registrations as part of our community service all the time. And so I think you will probably see less and less of that.
Well, you know, what's in looking here at his community involvement, all these organizations he's involved in, this would impact them. Because he's involved in the Rotary Club, the Chamber, the National Rifle Association, the Fraternal Order of Police, Kappa Sigma Fraternity, alumni, and the YWCA, he's a board member. All those groups, if they decided they wanted to do a civic thing?
If they're paying someone, that's the caveat.
Okay.
If they're paying someone to do it.
Okay. Then they would be, if the law passes, they would be in violation of the law.
That's correct.
So, like the Daughters Federation or American Revolution or whatever, they would too.
That's right. That's right. Like young people sometimes during the summer want to be involved, and you give them a small stipend for going out because it's hard work in the summer, again, I said.
It is.
Yeah. And so, yeah, an organization would be in violation. Mm-hmm.
So what if they're just having it as a volunteer effort?
Then it would not. My understanding is that it would not have any impact. The problem with that, though, is once this message goes out, it's hard to educate the public.
Yeah.
So they think that anyone who conducts a drive, it will have will affect them.
They absolutely are.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the original discussion.
Yes, for sure.
And this just so much reminds me of suppression.
It's had an effect on suppression. Again, to go from number 27 to number 50 is a big fall.
That's last.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. That's last. Absolutely. Absolutely last. And when we passed the bill in 2008 is when we passed the voter ID bill, we thought that it would have an impact on seniors and mm-hmm. people of color and women, and that's exactly who has impacted.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And now,
and young people, you know, our college students, it's really had an impact on them, and they're not voting, being able to vote at the same level as they were prior.
Right.
Like students from Fisk and TSU and Mary were able to vote in Nashville, but now they had to do it through absentee ballot or either go back to their home city, because if they change their registration sometime to Nashville, that may impact their grants.
Okay.
Yes, their Pell grants and student financial aid is what the word I was trying to say.
Well, and so their IDs still aren't acceptable.
No, you have to have a Tennessee driver's license.
Okay.
In order to vote in Tennessee.
Okay, no acceptance of.
No.
That was a fight from a year or so ago, a couple of years ago.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, for students from Florida, Alabama, another state other than Tennessee, mm-hmm. they would not be able to vote in Tennessee.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Although they are residents here for 4 years or longer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, several of the students that we've had up here, you know, that are approaching the runway on graduation, they don't want to leave. They like it here.
Yes.
They don't want to go back to their homes. They want to try to work it out here, you know.
And some of our seniors, of course, they were delivered by midwives, and they may not even have birth certificates at all, and that's one of the requirements to be able to vote is you have to have your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that you have to have in order to be able to vote, to get your card. And so I think, again, it goes back to people of color and seniors.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the news, I know a lot of people noticed yesterday's news where the educators or the advocates in education were unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you got people that up there at the Capitol unhappy every day about something.
Right.
Never is a dull moment, I'm sure. The vouchers system.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and how's it looking?
Well, that's supposed to come up tomorrow in the Senate as well. And I haven't received any emails in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the public educators have said that they are opposed to it because they feel like it's going to take money from our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's written, it says one thing, they've narrowed it down to Davidson County and Shelby County, which if my opinion, if it's good enough for Davidson County and Shelby County, it should be good enough for the whole state, right?
Absolutely.
At the whole state. And it says those schools, individuals in the lower 5% of priority schools, then they will be able to receive $7,300 and they can go to a religious school or a private school.
Mm.
And they can use it even for materials and equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And those states that have adopted a similar policy, it has just not shown to be effective.
Hmm.
And in addition, there's a tremendous amount of fraud that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, parents would be managing that $7,300 themselves. I think if we really wanted to help low-income and working-class parents, if we had said it's only going to be for children who are on free and reduced lunch,
mm-hmm.
and only kids who are going to priority schools, then we might do something. Might be effective, but my suspicion is that we're going to be subsidizing parents who...
And
who
go to private schools.
Yeah.
And it's going to take the money from public schools.
That's right.
And it's the same discussion that's been going on in education for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that look?
It looks like it's on track to pass. It passed yesterday. It was, I think it was 49-49 yesterday. And the boards were left open for about 40 minutes until mm-hmm. they could get one member to flip his vote.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, it passed.
Yeah. What are your constituents saying about that?
Again, I have not received not one email to say that they're in favor of it. All the teachers in my community and across the state are fearful that this is not going to do anything but weaken public education even
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm.
That once you strip that money out of the public schools, then you still got the same maintenance, you still got the same number of teachers.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we live, it's kind of, for want of a better word, it's kind of pulling the cream of the crop out of the public schools.
Right.
And it's been showing that students do better when there's diversity in
mm-hmm.
school, when you have some smart ones and
mm-hmm.
some that struggle
mm-hmm.
and some that are mediocre. And all of them learn from that experience.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Mm-hmm. But if we just have a school building made up of all students who are struggling and coming from disadvantaged community,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we're doing very much to raise the boat for all Tennesseans.
Right.
And it's to our advantage to make sure that all of our children succeed, because we know that when children stay in school and they succeed, they're less likely to get in trouble, they're less likely to drop out, and they feel better about themselves, and crime goes down,
sure.
they're more productive.
Yes.
So
you haven't had one person say they're for it?
I've not had it, not one single person.
Okay.
No.
Well, who's for it?
Well, I know this is one of the governor's major initiatives, and it means a lot to him, but...
Mm-hmm.
And from what I can tell, he seems like a pretty good man, but I just disagree with him on this one. I just don't think it's going to be good for disadvantaged community.
I don't either. I disagree with him on more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phone, 615-329-8810. Denise, hello. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind?
Yes, this is a great topic. I agree that vouchers are not the answer. Parents are already pulling their kids out of metro schools in droves in the hundreds. So, number one, if they get a voucher, more kids are going to disenroll from metro schools and leave the rest of us with even fewer resources.
Mm-hmm.
But also with this voucher program, if it's only around $7,000, tuitions to private schools are far higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So parents will have to apply for financial aid hoping they get it or be put in debt or, I don't think it would be to our advantage to have that voucher program for most of us.
And that's an excellent point that your caller makes.
Yeah.
It's very few schools that I know where the tuition is $7,300. And I asked that question yesterday. How many schools in Tennessee would they have options for? And it's a very small percentage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I did my research, and most of the tuition I saw was $15,000 to $20,000.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was thinking about pulling my kids out of metro school or homeschooling, because I'm just kind of disgusted over metro school. So.
Yeah.
And it can be used for homeschooling as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Or online schooling, yes.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Denise, thank you for listening today, and thank you for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Arizona is one of the states that adopted it, and it was close to $1 million of fraud, and they have not been able to recoup any of that money. Yeah.
Fraud.
Fraud, huh? Because some parents, I hate to say it, but will just misuse the funds, and they children still will not get the education.
Right. And then after they go to prison, we got to pay to take care of their kids.
That's right.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
It is bad. Or even if they don't go to prison, they probably will come back into the...
Well, the family's destroyed. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Either way it goes, the system is going to have to help somewhere, mm-hmm. for sure. So, in the next couple of weeks, what do you expect to be the biggest problems for you?
Well, there's a rumor that we're getting out of session next Thursday. So,
okay.
So... we'll be looking forward to that as we wind down. The budget is the big thing now. We've made some budget appropriation amendments, mm-hmm. and I'm really praying about that. Two of the big ones that I put in, I'm not sure how successful we're going to be, mm-hmm. is something to help Tennessee State University and something to help
mm-hmm.
Harry. So.
Okay.
All I can say is just we're going to pray and keep working on it as hard as we can.
Definitely.
About it. But our HBCUs here in the city are so important,
yes.
not just to this community, but for the whole country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that job of convincing the country that is an ongoing 24/7 job, you know that, I know, as alum. And I do... I have been reading the press releases from the rolling releases from our school, yours,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to share the same speaker this year, Reverend Sharpton.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Well, I hope the Rev comes with separate messages.
That's exciting. That's exciting.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
He's your graduation speaker this year.
Yeah, I listen to MSNBC. MSNBC, and
yes.
he's always, has some good stuff to
yes,
say.
Yes, he does, absolutely.
Yeah.
So surely he'll bring some of that with him when he comes to the state of Tennessee.
Yes.
During those two graduations where he will be bringing the commencement
I'll
address.
I'll have to Google and find out when Fisk graduation so I can make sure.
Ours is the 6th.
The 6th of May?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the 6th at, we held at Mount Zion.
Okay. Which location? Old Hickory?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
The 6th of May. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
No, that's April.
Uh-huh. It's a week from Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's following Monday.
Okay.
Anyway, Representative Gil... Senator... I told y'all, you know, I've been calling her that for a long
time.
That's
all right. Just call me Brenda.
Lady Gilmore. Senator Lady Gilmore. I just took your name, Brenda, and turned it into Lady Gilmore.
Yeah. We did. If you got a second, I would like to tell you a bill that we got passed last week.
Okay.
But I'm really excited about it.
All right.
It's called the Primary Care Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get a tremendous amount of help from across the aisle on this bill. And basically it says if you commit a nonviolent offense,
uh-huh.
and if you are the primary caregiver of a child under 18 years old, rather than sending you to prison, the judge has about 15 different things that he can do. Instead
mm-hmm.
of, you can do community service, you could go get vocational education,
oh.
you could get treatment for drugs or alcohol.
Good.
Yeah, and so this is going to save a tremendous amount of money. It costs about $30,000 to send somebody to prison.
Yeah.
And to this community sentences about $11,000. But most important, it will keep families together.
Amen.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Really yeah. And Representative Camper was the primary sponsor on the House side.
Uh-huh.
And Representative William Lambert helped us out tremendously with this
Excellent.
Piece of mail.
Now, what's the name of it so we can know it?
Primary Care.
Primary Care.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. It provides alternative sentencing.
Okay. Now, you'll be coming back again to give us another legislative update.
Whenever you want me,
okay.
you just call us.
Okay.
All you got to do is call, and
okay.
I'll be here for you.
Thank you.
Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
No, thank you because you and Reverend Caldwell were our first donors during when we just talking about the drive in March.
Okay, very good.
So, yeah, you are on the top of our list, so thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
And we'll be back in touch.
All right.
Since I now know that the session is going to be sunny die here shortly.
Very shortly.
Okay.
I think next week we'll probably be out last
okay.
week.
Okay, well, I'll be getting you back so you can give us an update on what to watch for.
You just call me.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you back.
Bye. Okay, we need to take a quick time out. We're coming back with our discussion on the issue of the Innocent Lives Foundation and how the risk of sex trafficking takes place during high-profile sporting events and et cetera, and what this particular organization does to try to bring the predators to justice. So let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Support for Jazzy 88 WFSK comes from the Tennessee Tribune, bringing you positive, constructive news and information about the African-American community every Thursday. There's a special emphasis on business, sports, education, and entertainment. The Tennessee Tribune covers the political, the spiritual aspects of community awareness, and much more. The Tennessee Tribune, bringing you news you can use. Pick up your copy of the Tennessee Tribune today or visit their website at thetennesseetribune.com. Call their offices at 615-321-3268.
A crash on 65 and Wedgwood nearing Berry Hill. Another on 40 westbound between Briley and Charlotte Pike. I-40 in West Nashville is clogged for several miles, starting with that wreck on 40 west between the 440 split and 46th Avenue North. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
On the next Jazz Night in America, South Africa's forgotten jazz history with music by Abdullah Ibrahim.
The only reality is a dream, because everything that you see in reality started with a dream.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Beautiful day in the city. In Nashville, they're calling it Draftville and Music City, Draft City. It's getting called a little bit of everything. It's going to be wall-to-wall congestion city tomorrow and for the next 2 or 3 days. But anyway, all discussions and eyes have been on all things involving the draft and the conversations and newscasts and weathercasts and et cetera. All discussions have been wrapped around this big event that is coming to our fair city for the first time ever, and that is the NFL draft, which kicks off tomorrow. Now, of course, as in all things, there's always a darker side. Two big events such as this one and others, and we're going to close up the rest of the afternoon on the subject of sex trafficking. And Chris, is it Hadnagy?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Oh, thank you. I love that. Because I was working on it for the first hour of the show. I was like, during the break, I said, I think that's what it is. And Chris is the founder of Innocent Lives Foundation. Tell our audience about the organization that you founded.
Well, Innocent Lives Foundation is an organization that uses security professionals. These are people who are very skilled at finding those who try to hide on the internet. And we work with law enforcement to uncover those who abuse children and trade in child abuse material and sex trafficking material on the open web and on the dark web and profit from that, whether it's from money or it's just they do it because it brings them enjoyment. So we uncover those people and then work with law enforcement to get them handed off into law enforcement to get taken care of.
Now, Chris may be familiar, his work and an organization may be familiar to you if you've watched CNN, NPR, Fox, CNBC, or MSNBC. He is a has appeared on those shows before and answers questions on this subject in numerous interviews and is author of three books. Now, what books have you done, Chris?
My first book was called Social Engineering, The Art of Human Hacking, which is all about the different types of vectors that people get used against them when it comes to getting hacked from a human standpoint. Then I wrote a book all about nonverbals with the world leader of nonverbal communications, Dr. Paul Ekman. Then I wrote a book all about phishing. I don't mean phishing as in like rod and reel, but phishing emails and the psychology behind that. And then my fourth book just came out, which is all about the science behind social engineering. And it involves very much in what this organization does, too, and how people get influenced or manipulated into doing things that they shouldn't do.
Well, for sure, we know about that phishing. We certainly, we know about that fishing and, you know, and catfish and all that, you know, where that used to be what you did on a sleepy afternoon with a hook and a line and a sinker, but not anymore. Those days are certainly gone. And catfish used to be a good sandwich, but not anymore since the web. Everything has changed. Now, so does your organization work with the larger law enforcement community to be the bait? Is that what you all, you debate? You're there when you see these different websites you hear so much about, you know, after the arrest has been made. Is that what you do? I know you can't tell everything, but, I mean, can you give me an idea?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. So no, that's not what we do. So, and that's a good point, because when you think about shows like The Catch a Predator or things like that that happened in the past, a lot of those guys and people that got caught in those shows, those cases got thrown out. Because when you bait somebody, there's an argument where a lawyer can say, well, I didn't really do anything, and that really wasn't a 13-year-old girl. That was a 40-something-year-old man, so you really didn't prove anything. So what we do is we don't sit on the internet and bait anyone. We look for people who have already committed the crime. So people who are trading pictures of children they've abused, or people who have posted ads for sex trafficking. So there are people who abduct children. There's a horrible statistic right now. 27% of trafficking victims this year are going to be minors. So they put ads in papers and they use code words. One of the big ones that we see, that we saw, now it's not as prolific so we could talk about it, but they use things, they used to call it cheese pizza, CP, standing for child pornography. And the people involved in that would know what that code meant, and then they would make purchases based on that. So we look for people who've already done the crime, and they're using monikers or code words or fake names, and then we uncover who they are in the real world, and then we hand that identity over to law enforcement so the person's getting arrested for a crime they already committed.
So these people would be online using that code?
Yep, they do that online on the open web, on forums that involve sexting forums or other types of forums like that. They do it on Craigslist. They do it on all sorts of forums like that. WhatsApp mm-hmm. is a big one. They do it all over social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, believe mm-hmm. it or not. They're grooming kids on things, even gaming sites like Minecraft. Mm-hmm. They're looking for targets all over. And big events, you brought it up in your introduction, when you see things like what's happening, the NFL draft, mm-hmm. They know large amounts of people will be in your town. Mm-hmm. People will be coming in, tourists will be coming in, and with that there'll be a large influx of tourism, mm-hmm. which means a larger increase in places like massage parlors, mm-hmm. sex shops, and other things like that, which will rise the demand for different types of services. And people who provide illicit services also know that. So the demand will go up, and so will the traffickers will go up. So people need to be very aware of what to look for and how to keep their kids safe, and also how to notice if they see something that triggers an alarm, have to take the right action.
Okay, well, those triggering the alarms, you know, most everyone's young person has an online presence, websites and Instagrams and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really hard to protect, put a fence around your kids. So what do you suggest that they do, Chris?
Well, you know, so when it comes to your own kids, and I have two kids myself, so when it comes to your own kids, mm-hmm. and I know this is an unpopular answer and it's difficult, but I say we monitor everything our kids do. You have to know who they're talking to on the internet. You have to know who they're dealing with on their social media site. You have to know what games they're involved in, mm-hmm. what site they're on, and what they're posting before they post it. You have to be aware of who they're hanging out with, where they're going, and who they're going with. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we can't be too safe. You just mm-hmm. can't. When it comes to your own kids, you have to know. And it's not enough to just say, oh, I'm going with, you know, Joe or Susie from school. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Well, who are they bringing? Because right. we just don't. When you're trusting Joe or Susie, you're also trusting that they're making the right decisions.
That's right.
A proactive parent will have safer kids.
Right. Absolutely.
That is just a rule of thumb, right?
And I would say to the parents, don't let those kids talk you out of doing your job now. Say,
I agree 100%.
I agree with that
100%. You know, and it's easy to do because we want to give our kids freedom. We want to teach them to be responsible. But the hard part is, you know, is that we're social media now. I mean, we worked a case where, you know, some groomer was making himself look like a 13-year-old girl on Instagram, and he was hitting up other 13-year-olds or 11-year-olds. He had this one 11-year-old girl convinced, and fortunately he got caught before it happened, but he had this girl convinced to go meet him, and he was going to meet her at a McDonald's in town and guaranteed that if she had shown up and he had not gotten caught, he would have abducted her, and her life would have been much more horrible. You know, and they're doing something called sextortion. Mm-hmm. So they get you on these things. They convince you because you're another 13-year-old girl to take pictures in your underwear. It goes from your underwear to taking pictures with maybe your top off. And then once they get you partially naked or fully naked, they then tell you, hey, I'm not a 13-year-old girl. I'm a guy. And now you're going to perform these sex acts on camera, or I'm sending this picture to all of your family and friends. And they force you to do these horrible things to yourself while they film you on your webcam, and those videos get sold and traded to other perverts online.
Wow.
So we as parents, we need to know what our kids are involved
mm-hmm.
in, and we need to know what their tech is involved in before they get involved in it, because it's too late once it's out there. And the sad part is that this material, once it's out there and being traded, stopping it is almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It will be traded for eternity. And then the next level of that is if you're out there and you're in the public and you see something, you see maybe a one guy, he's got a bunch of young girls with him, and maybe the girls seem like they don't have freedom to walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Just something just hits you in that internal radar. You know, that seems odd. This doesn't seem normal. Mm-hmm. Those girls don't act normal.
Right.
You know what I always say? Just tell someone. Call 911. Tell a local police. Report it to an authority.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's nothing wrong, then nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. But if there is something wrong, you may save a bunch of girls from having a horrible life.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, if you see something, just report it, because you never, that adage you see in the airports all the time, if you see something, say something, mm-hmm. it proves true. There are so many cases of somebody who stood up to say something and saved a bunch of girls, but not just girls, a bunch of young girls and mm-hmm. young boys mm-hmm. from a horrible life because they had the guts to stand up and say something.
Now, what is the average age that someone would be seeking? Is it just teenage girls, or is it in their late teens, early 20s, for this trafficking, sex trafficking?
Well, it will range. Uh-huh. It will range. And to be honest, I don't want to be too sickening, but it can range even from preteens.
Oh, my.
From preteens on up to where you could see, you know, young 20s and even older. Mm-hmm. But it can range in any age group. There are people out there with predilections towards any age group.
Mm.
So you will see these traffickers looking for their targets in any one of those groups.
Mm.
There are trafficking rings that target specifically preteen girls and boys. So it is not just our young girls and our daughters we have to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
We have to watch, sadly, for our sons, our young men. They're being targeted now, too, by these predators.
Hmm. Now, let me remind the audience, Chris Hadnagy is the founder of Innocent Lives Foundation, a nonprofit group that works with law enforcement to bring sexual predators to justice. And among other things, Chris is a cybercrime consultant to the FBI and local law enforcement agencies across the country. And you may be familiar with his work or his organization, and as well as being the author of numerous books. And Chris, during these major sporting events or even musical events, etc., there's a heightened alert, and I know security is up at an all-time high in this particular region. Is there, since things are the way they are now with sex trafficking, there's no major event that's immune from this type of behavior, is it?
No. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to a few other shows about the Masters, which is a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the big races, the car races that happen, football. You look at any big sporting event. What it is any event that's going to bring a large amount of tourists into a city increases all services. And that's good services like restaurants, hotels, taxis, Uber, Lyft, you know, any type of those services, theme parks, all of those services increase. But with that, it also increases services that are illicit, services mm-hmm. like sex shops and massage parlors and those that offer services that are illegal,
hmm.
Sales of drugs and sales of sex and sales of sex traffic victims will also increase during these events. And pimps and those who traffic other humans know that. So they look for these events, and they put ads in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
They look for massage parlors to feed their supply to,
mm.
and then they make big money out of these events.
Mm-mm-mm. And they'll mill through the area just like a normal tourist or a normal person having a good time, right?
They will, and they don't have big signs on them. You know, you wouldn't look across the street and just notice someone and say, "Wow, that person looks just like a sex trafficker." You wouldn't notice it.
Right.
They don't have a look to them.
Yeah.
You know, you would pass them by in a grocery store and not even know.
Wow. Now, you said if, you know, when you see something, say something. Specifically, again, kind of go over some of what would look so strange or suspicious that would make someone, you know, pick up the phone or contact law enforcement, etc.
Sure. So many times in sex trafficking instances, what you have is you have the trafficker or the pimp, and he has a group of people, young girls, let's say, and they are given no freedom. So he may be buying some snacks or some water or something in a convenience store or grocery store, and they are told to stand. They're standing in a corner. They're not given the freedom to look. Usually they will not look you in the eye. They're not allowed to talk to strangers. They're not allowed to look around or walk around. And that will be odd for a group of young teenage girls to not be on a cell phone, to not be on social media to just be standing in a little circle, just be standing there while some guy's buying them snacks, not looking at people, not interacting. That alone should be enough of a trigger to say, why is that, even if it's just two or three, why are they all standing there in a small circle? Why are they interacting? Why are they not on cell phones? Why does that look so odd? I'm just gonna say something to somebody. Now, the worst thing to do is to approach that group or approach that person. Right? Do not try to be a superhero. Right? We are not Marvel Comics here. Do not try to just approach that person and say, hey, are you a trafficker? What are you doing? Do not put those girls in any harm's way. The best thing to do is to report that to an authority. If you can get any identifying marks, if you can slyly get a picture, if you can take down a license plate number, if you can do something covertly that will not get you noticed or get those people in trouble, you know, get those girls in trouble, and then report that, you can potentially stop a trafficking incident.
And also, we all in this area, or I guess at any time, should keep our eyes open for anything we see on social media, or if we see a behavior change in our own household with our own children, right?
Oh, their own children, for sure. So if you start seeing your own children, maybe they dress different, you look for your own children, all of a sudden they have special gifts. They have jewelry you didn't notice before, or they have technological gifts that you didn't know where they came from. And you know where they're getting their money. You know, they don't have enough money for that. All of a sudden, they have different things. Where did that come from? They maybe have attitude changes. They don't eat as much, or they seem depressed, or they seem stressed or anxious. Don't automatically jump to the fact that they're being abused. This could be hormonal changes. It could be life changes. But as a parent, it should trigger our thoughts and say, what's happening? Let's look into this. Let's figure this out. Let's try to find out what's going on in their life, because it could definitely be something related to their online activities. And it's a good time to start analyzing and looking at what's going on online. Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? What are they involved with? And let's figure out if there's something that needs to be rectified.
Can I just spend a moment on this subject, on the people who are... the Johns, are they still called that in today's world? The ones who are seeking these girls, they're coming in, or young people, they're coming in knowing that this city is one, and other cities that have big events, is one where the action is going to be, because this is the way folks that have been doing this for a long time. I think earlier today we mentioned that owner of the what was that team that got in trouble?
New England Patriots.
And
Roger Kraft.
I mean, you know, you would think somebody like him would know better, but obviously not. How's the law enforcement? And because they're serving some time, won't they be serving some lengthy time?
Well, if they get caught, see, here's the issue comes in, is that these the criminals here, these people, they have such organization, and they've been doing this around the U.S., sometimes around the globe, in such a way that they are so organized, and there's such a large amount of people. You think about this, when you have a police force that knows that tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people are going to be in your city for the NFL draft, and there's going to be an increase in all crimes. Right? So then you have an increase in, let's say, drunkenness. You have an increase in driving crimes. You have an increase in theft. You have an increase in nonviolent crimes. You have an increase in domestic abuse. You can go through the crimes. We don't want to get too depressing. And police are going to be inundated with all the different crime reports that are coming in. Now you add to that this horrific crime, that sex trafficking will be increased, and traffickers will rely on this. The fact that you have this, the you know, maybe an increased police force, but they're dealing with a potentially increased crime rate for that point in time, and traffickers are relying on the fact that that increase will create an environment where they can maybe slip under the radar.
That's true.
And it's the hard part with this for any of us in this space is that it is a very reactive. Mm-hmm. It's a very reactive industry, not proactive, right? Mm-hmm. If anyone had a crystal ball, we could say, "Hey, here's where the crime's going to be." Boy, you'd win the Nobel Peace Prize. You can't. Mm-hmm. So the problem is we battle this to say we're going to be able to stop it mm-hmm. when we see it happening.
Yeah.
But by then, somebody's already been damaged. Sure. So all we can do is try to stop it so the next boy and girl doesn't get damaged.
Definitely. Right? Definitely.
And that's all we can do is just keep fighting the fight so the next person doesn't have to go through this.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, I think the interstates that run through our state and having a military base about 20-something miles away, you know, would make this a prime place anyway. It would just seem that way, you know, with the music industry and the popularity. Because Nashville's had history of having stripper places in downtown Nashville on the corner with blinking flashing lights saying, "Come on down." I mean, that's like how it was here when I first moved here at 33 years ago. And, you know, the laws changed and they pushed them back where the places like that weren't on the main drags anymore. They are certainly still here in various capacities. So, the TBI has this new website on sex trafficking. You're going to be working, you work hand in hand with them and the FBI too, right?
We work with any law enforcement that reaches out to us, and when we get leads, we look for law enforcement where that lead comes. So if we get a lead that's, you know, directly in, let's say, Nashville, then we'll look for the law enforcement that can directly handle that lead, and we'll reach out to them, and we will say, "Hey, we have an active perpetrator in your area. Here's all the details. Do you want it? Do you want us to go federal? How do you want us to handle that?"
Wow.
So we will work with any law enforcement that wants to work with us whatsoever.
Excellent. Now the TBI website is what I think it's eyesupnashville.com.
Eyesupnashville.com. Yeah.
So what's yours, Chris?
Ours is InnocentLivesFoundation.org.
Okay, excellent. And be sure, parents, to, you know, read that information. Get familiar with it. So, you know, it's a tough job being a parent now, but you all can do it. But, you know, just heads up on it. And is there resources and everything on yours, Chris?
We have a lot of blogs out there that we talk about what to watch for, the different social media sites that are dangerous. We are being more – we're actually working on right now some documentation on how parents can monitor their kids' devices. It's not out there yet, but if you keep watching our website, we'll be releasing that.
Excellent.
So we are trying to be a lot more and working on documentation, be a lot more proactive with parents to help them. With this fight.
Excellent. Chris, I certainly do appreciate the work that you do and your organization, and I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation because I've learned a lot, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, okay?
This was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, you're welcome. That's Chris Hadnagy. He is founder of the Innocent Lives Foundation, and they're a nonprofit. They work with law enforcement to bring sexual predators to justice. So it's a lot for folks to think about in and around the lives of your family and, of course, yourself at the same time. Nashville, you all have the very best of the best, because that's all ALL we have for you today. Have the very best of the best, and don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.